You're listening to the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Shelby Bowen. After spending 15 years in news, reaching thousands of people across the nation, former TV news anchor Brooke Martin found herself in a position she never imagined she would be in. In life, everyone will go through trials, hardships, and obstacles, but it's what you do or don't do in those moments that can shape and transform the course of your life forever. Stay tuned to listen to Brooke's story of discovering purpose in the valley.
Read more stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription.
I think in all of our lives, we can say that we have walked through trials, through hard moments, and through suffering that has brought us out stronger on the other side. But you may be listening right now and you are walking through a valley and it feels like there is no end. But I want to assure you today that God has a plan for your life and He is going to use your pain for a purpose. Today, I have the honor and privilege of interviewing Brooke Martin, and she's going to share a little bit of her journey and what she's walked through to encourage you in your life today. So welcome to Charisma News, Brooke.
Thanks, Shelby. It's so good to be here.
So I was just super impressed with your story, more from a personal level as I was looking into everything that God's doing in your life. You were in news for about 15 years and have really, God has used you in mighty ways through interviews and reaching people and sharing impactful stories. So kind of tell us a little bit about who you are and then go ahead and go into your testimony and where you are today.
Okay. So yeah, I've been in news for 15 years. I was born and raised in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and went to school at Temple University for broadcasting and multimedia, and quickly landed a first job in Macon, Georgia, cutting my teeth there in the world of TV news, and then moved on to Wichita, Kansas, and lastly, Indianapolis, Indiana, where most recently I was a main anchor here for Wish TV. And it was an amazing career journey that, as you kind of touched on, allowed me to tell so many stories. And it was a privilege, really, to be allowed into everyone's homes every night. And what I didn't expect is that, yeah, I would be telling my own story. Coming up in 2018 is when we were, my husband and I were pregnant with our second child. And at about 14 weeks, kind of a fluke case of bronchitis took me into my OB. And it was then that we discovered that our baby had a condition called anencephaly and that it was 0% chance of survival. And we had already announced our pregnancy on air. And so everyone was following along as they do with the news anchors. And we kind of got to a very abrupt crossroads where we immediately decided to carry our baby full term as long as she would survive. But we also had to make the public announcement then to the viewers that that this was our reality. And so I had to begin walking through a pregnancy very publicly every night on the news as I would grow. You know, just everyone was leaning in very close as we walked through this. And it was something that we never expected, but something that God proved to be incredibly faithful through.
Wow. I, you know, can't imagine as you're walking through such a hard moment. And I know, you know, you're leaning on God in those moments, you know, with everything that you have just to get His strength and, you know, move when you feel like you have nothing left. You know, I'm sure everybody who's watching has had those moments in their life. Talk to us a little bit about walking through that publicly, especially with the decision that you made to carry full term, because I'm sure there were people, and I worked in news for a while, you get people would send in messages, whether they're nice, a lot of mean messages, critical messages. You know, walking through that publicly, did you face feedback from people that was negative with your decision that you chose to make?
Yeah, so I actually didn't receive a lot of negative feedback, at least not to my face anyway. It was overwhelming support. And the reason for that is that people cannot criticize your story. They can criticize decisions and, you know, how you wear your hair, but your story, and because it's so personal to you, really what happened was people leaned in and many were very confused because with anencephaly, about 85% of pregnancies are terminated.
Wow.
And so the fact that we chose to carry our daughter full term was unusual. And so people were confused, but we didn't hear, at least to our faces, any negative, you know, criticism or feedback. It was more confusion. And what happened was it made people listen longer and sit closer as we walked through this journey, because I even had, a friend came over to our house shortly after the diagnosis, and through tears, she said, "Why are you doing this?"
Wow.
You know, and it was just this genuine, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And what I didn't mention earlier in our story was that in the ultrasound room, as I was laying on the table right after I received the diagnosis, the doctor walked out and I was alone, and I just heard so clearly a whisper from the Lord to my heart of Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. And it stopped me. I mean, my tears stopped as if they were listening for a second. And I was confused in the moment. I had thought about Christmas. I was in shock. I was like, what is this word that I'm hearing? Yeah. And somebody else walked in and kind of disrupted my thought process at that time, but I tucked that away. And what I learned was that the Lord was supernaturally delivering a message through our daughter, that he is with us and that he is enough, even in the unthinkable, even in the unimaginable. And it was the strength that we needed to anchor the news every night, to respond to questions like, why are you doing this? To go to those doctor's appointments that I thought I physically could not get through. And what I learned through this and what I was able to relay to everyone watching was that, that he is with us.
Yeah.
Not only in the form of flesh, and that's, you know, this time of year, what we celebrate, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, he came, he, you know, sacrificed, he rose again, all of these things of the utmost importance. But we also have to remember that he told his disciples, it's better that I leave you now.
Yeah.
And that part of the story is what impacted me so much. And I thought, why, Lord? Like, why is it better that you leave us? You're Emmanuel. You're supposed to be with us. And it's because I'm giving you the helper. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And it was through this pregnancy of about 6 months that I came to know the helper in ways that I never experienced before.
Yeah.
And it born in me this hunger and this realization of what I was missing. You know, I had been a Christian my whole life and had a personal relationship with the Lord. And it was through our daughter's life that the Lord was sending a message to me personally that there is more. There is more for me. There is more for her. There is more for all of us. If we are willing to lean into it. And so different, you know, moments along the journey, I experienced, you know, what I would consider miracles in our life and in the pregnancy. And then, you know, delivery day was upon us March 15th, 2019. Our daughter was named after her namesake, Emma Noel Emmanuel, and she was born alive, and we had 21 minutes with her, and it was an amazing time, a very sacred time, and I can stop there, but as far as your initial question about negative feedback, no, it was overwhelmingly positive.
That helps so much, because I can't imagine having to deal with both of those at the same time. But even being able to, you know, a lot of people have to walk through the hard times and then, you know, they really aren't seeing God using that until maybe like afterwards. But really, man, just his faithfulness and how he was already using your story from that moment in the beginning and still now. And man, I was tearing up as you were talking, just thinking about how amazing God is and how faithful he is. Mm. And your mindset through it all is everything. I know, you know, walking through my own trials and journeys, when we have a mindset that isn't positive, or we're not necessarily taking those bad thoughts captive and we're letting them sit and marinate and replay over, and we're not healthily processing through our emotions and grief, it can lead to mental health issues and stuff like that. So could you talk a little bit about how you kept your mind really focused on God, on the Holy Spirit, and bringing you through to a healthy, you know, mental place, and now continuing to talk about it and use it for God's glory?
Yeah. So I would just say, first and foremost, that grace.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything during my pregnancy that, you know, allowed me to survive it, or that drew me close enough to the Lord so that, you know, I could get through it. Mm-hmm. We were poured out. Grace was poured upon us. And that is the only thing that got us through and allowed us to have the perspective that we had. That being said, when we got home after receiving the diagnosis and my husband and I were sitting on the couch, we had varying degrees of faith at that point, but we were desperate.
Yeah.
And we prayed one prayer together, and it was three words. And we said, God be glorified.
Wow.
And we knew that we had no control over this. We knew that we didn't have the strength to get through it. We knew that we were not some spiritual giants, you know. But we knew that God could glorify himself through this situation. And that was our prayer. And we had no idea the scale or magnitude that he would take such a simple prayer and take our story around the world. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of people watched, you know, as we walked through this pregnancy. Wow. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity. But more than anything, I am so grateful for how the Lord transformed our own family through this. Mm. And truly did a miraculous work in the hearts of myself, of my husband, of our children, to take us into deeper waters and to usher us into a place where we are now truly surrendered to his will and his plan for us, and truly trusting that he is in control. And how you can go from the loss of a child to a transformed faith is only through the grace of God. But it starts with that prayer, right? Mm-hmm. God be glorified. So often we're thinking, you know, why did this happen to me? Or what,
right.
How do I get through this? How, and we're really, you know, focused on self. And it's like, if we can shift out and say, God, this is about you, even though this is crushing me, even though this is hurting me, be glorified. He will never not answer that prayer. And he wants, you know, the Bible talks so much about suffering and so much about rejoicing in it. And that those verses used to always confuse me. And now I get it, because the Lord is saying, it is in these times where I, in the fires, where I can mold you, where I can truly fortify you, like, you know, forge you into what you are created to be. Because it's in those times where we allow ourselves to be shed of the coverings and the facades and everything that was keeping us going. You know, as a news anchor, mm-hmm. I was, you know, always worried about what people think, right? Always trying to be, you know, right in everyone's eyes, never wanting to step on toes. And the Lord shed, you know, so much fear of man off of me in that season and really got me to a place where I was vulnerable enough to hear from him in a transformative way and to really hear his heart. And so I would just say for anyone, you know, suffering, I think back to Paul in Philippians when he's in prison. I think it's in the first chapter, but he writes to the church and he says, I rejoice because I know that through your prayers and the work of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Wow. The suffering is going to be my deliverance, right?
Yeah.
And you think, why is that? And he says, well, it's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed.
Yep.
But now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether through life or death. And what this is about, Shelby, is this is saying we have got to take a higher perspective of understanding that the circumstances of this life are for the end game. Like, this is for his glory, whatever that looks like, however that looks like. And because of his grace and his goodness, what happens is that he flexes through our suffering in ways that will wreck us in the most beautiful ways. But we have to keep our perspective aligned with that and keep it away from ourselves, because the enemy wants us to second guess. Yeah. The enemy wants us to think that this is about us and what we deserve. And if we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus in our suffering, there is no greater transformative tool in our life than suffering. Yeah. But we have to view it as that. I remember Bill Johnson once said that, you know, very soon there's going to be a day where we will be in eternity with Jesus, and it will be everything and more than we could ever hope and dream.
Yeah.
But for now, for this blink of an eye of life, this is the only chance we have to share in Christ's sufferings. Okay. So we have this moment in time to lean into our heartache and grow closer to the Lord, to be with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and to understand that cry of his heart, those drips of blood that are saying, Lord, please take this from me. The day that I dreaded most in my journey with Emma was not even her delivery or her death. It was the day that we had to leave the hospital.
Wow.
We were with her a couple days after she passed, thanks to a cooling device called a cuddle cot. She was allowed to be in our room. And so it allowed bonding and closure. It was a beautiful time. But all throughout my pregnancy, the one moment that I dreaded was leaving that hospital.
Yeah.
Because I thought, how do you leave a hospital without your child?
Yeah.
And that morning that we were being discharged, I woke up and tears were already falling down my face. And I cried out to the Lord and I said, God, I can't do this part. Like, I literally physically could not do it. And in that moment, I felt a surge of strength rush just head to toe. And it was like as if heaven was being poured out upon me. And I took a deep breath, and Cole and I rocked Emma that morning, and we spent time with her. And when it was time to go, we handed her to the nurse and we walked out of the hospital room and out of the hospital, and we got in the car and we buckled our seatbelts. And I remember we looked at each other and we smiled and we thought, what are we smiling about?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, this is the power of Jesus Christ living in us. This is the power that he offers us if we surrender, if we admit, if we say, we can't do this, but you can. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. And so it was just times like that where I was just like, oh God, you're so good. You're so faithful. And I know that we're going to be with Emma forever in eternity.
Yeah.
But for now, this is our chance to share in Christ's suffering and to get to know him on that level. Like,
wow.
What a beautiful gift. But we have to understand that it's an invitation. It's nothing that's forced upon us. And so we have, when we walk through suffering, we're handed an invitation and we get to say yes or no to that. And so often out of fear, out of protection, out of whatever, we say no. We'll handle it. We'll try and guard against it. We'll get through it. We'll survive. And it's only in the surrender that we can see the beauty in it all.
Wow. It's so powerful. Thank you for sharing those moments. So much of what you said resonated with me. And I know, you know, a lot of these things are birthed out of the secret place in your time with God. And so sharing them, it's like almost letting people into that secret place that you have. And it's vulnerable, but it's so impactful. And just when you were talking about Bill Johnson and what he said, so many times in my life, I've meditated on that and, you know, walked through a trial and hardship not long ago. And really what got me through was what you were talking about with identifying with Jesus in his pain. And so it's like, I'm sitting here and I'm praying and talking to him about what I'm going through. And he's like, and he just comes down to your level. It's not like, well, what I did was so much more than what you're going through. It's never like that. He's so humble and he just comes down to your level. And he's like, I understand. Like, I understand what you're going through. I understand how you feel, you know, and it's like, this is what I walked through and this is how I felt. And I, you know, he like comes and we identify with him. He identifies with us. And it's really this exchange that's so beautiful. And as you're talking, I know everyone who's listening, when you walk through those times, it's like a tangible thing. It's like it's part of your faith. That's like something you can grab onto. And just as you're talking about it, I mean, the power of God through what you're saying is going forth because it's so real. It's not just something in a book that you're reciting, but it's something you've lived out and you like carry it. And so it's really, really, really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. I have one more question and then I want to tell people about your website and what you're doing, because I just know that God's going to continue to use this story for his glory and in ways that you can't even imagine. So my last question is, for people who have walked through hard times and they're listening to this and they're saying, hey, actually, like, I didn't do this the right way. I didn't identify with Jesus in his pain. I did shut him off. And they're having feelings of regret or shame, like, you know, this happened in time past. And what would you tell them? Like, how would you encourage them?
It's never too late. Jesus is always there and he's always ready and willing to redeem the pain that has come. And, you know, I would just say that the surrender is always an invitation.
Yeah.
There's no expiration date on it. And so if you're still waiting in pain and grief, the Lord wants to take it from you.
Yeah.
But you have to release it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our pain becomes like a security blanket.
Yeah.
We've known it for so long. It's what we're used to. And even the thought of releasing it can be scary. But I would just say there is freedom, you know, like Jesus came for our freedom and we are not to be held captive by, suffering and pain. God wants to redeem it and he will, if you surrender it. And so I would just say, trust him. And really I would say, get with people. I think this has been such a huge part of our story is finding a church body, that you can be vulnerable with, that you can be open with, and who is chasing after the person of Jesus and the things of the Holy Spirit. You got to surround yourself with people. I think we have become very isolated in our faith in a lot of ways. And we have rediscovered the beauty of the bride of Christ through this journey. It's another incredible gift that has come from this. And so just get with people, find your people, and really bring it to light, bring the pain to light. Don't feel like it's too old or too stale or whatever. Bring it up. The Lord is ready and eager to heal.
Brooke, I just feel like the Holy Spirit put this on my heart. Would you pray for people just however you feel led?
I would love to. Father, you are good. You are holy. You knitted each person in their mother's wombs, and you know us so intimately. And I just thank you for being a God who cares. A God who cares so much that he sent his own son to die. Father, I just pray over anyone listening right now who is still dealing with pain, the effects of suffering, of grief. Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you fill them? I pray that Jesus, through your power and your blood, God, that your sacrifice, what you paid for on the cross, God, it covers this. And so we just proclaim that power over the grip of fear, the grip of sadness and despair. I ask for freedom right now in the name of Jesus for anyone listening. God, will you give them a desire, a renewed hope, a spark of motivation that leads them to surrender, that leads them to seek out your body, to seek out brothers and sisters who are chasing after you, to seek out more of the Holy Spirit and the power, Jesus, that you have given each of us, the power that made you say it's better that you leave now. Father, will you give us revelation of your goodness and of your provision, even in the fire. God, I pray that on the other side, we will walk out unburned and stronger because of what we walked through. Draw us close in our suffering so that we can sit closer to you, Jesus, and learn more about you. We love you so much. I just pray blessings over everyone listening. I pray provision and healing. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brooke. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people listening, they need those prayers, and it's really beautiful. For everyone who's watching, I just encourage you to go to morewithbrookemartin.com. I know that I've been blessed from this conversation, and I know that people who are listening have been. And on there, you do coaching, and maybe you could tell us a little bit more about what you do. But you walk through this with people on your website. You talk about how to identify, how to heal in ways that lead to more beauty, communicating your trial effectively, including when to share and how much, just a multitude of things that are just so useful that I feel like a lot of people aren't learning anywhere else. So could you share a little bit with us about what you do and how people can stay connected with you?
Yeah, sure. My website is morewithbrookemartin.com. Right now I'm doing some speaking and writing mostly. And I do offer a free resource called Proof and Prayer that is sent to your inbox. And it just has a guided prayer with me biweekly, as well as some words. And please feel free to sign up for that on my website. Again, that's totally free. And then beyond that, connect with me on social media, Instagram, Facebook. I love to keep in touch with people. I am in the process of writing a curriculum that I really hope to get out soon, just helping people walk through suffering, because one of the things that we heard through our journey was we heard from so many people who are still really stuck in grief. Mm-hmm. And so so that curriculum hopefully will be coming out soon. And just stay tuned, you know, and feel free to shoot me a message if you ever need prayer or support. I'm here. And about a year ago, I actually left news to just be here in this space. And I'm not even honestly sure what it's going to end up looking like, but I just felt the Lord calling me out. And so please feel free to connect It's been so much fun and such a blessing to connect with so many people.
Well, Brooke, thank you so much for your time. And again, for everyone listening, that's more with BrookeMartin.com. I know that I will be keeping up to date with everything that you're doing, because it is obvious that God is really going to use you in mighty, mighty ways. And so I am excited to see what he does. But thank you, everyone, for listening, and stay tuned for more. Thank you for listening to Charisma News. To read more articles and stories like this one, visit charismanews.com. Receive stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine at mycharismashop.com. Type in promo code CPN to receive a 10% discount off your subscription.